for me, especially because it's my first time when I'm preaching in English.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pastor Dan, for this amazing opportunity.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
man,
for trusting me. Thanks, church, as well, for trusting in me and my wife. And we share 5 years, now less, more, maybe 4 years and a half in this church. So most of you guys see when you come in the first time, our difficulty about English. This difficulty is a little bit, we still have a little bit difficulty, especially this word difficulty. We have difficulty to say difficulty in English, but you can understand me, yeah? That's good. So before we start explaining about this topic, God called you for mission, but then Daniel just changed a little bit better, but the meaning is the same. God's calling you to a mission. So God calling you and me for a mission. So before we start talking about that topic, first prayer. Invite you to pray with me. Thanks, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day. Thanks, Heavenly Father, for this moment. Thanks, God, because you invite me, not just me, but all my friends to this place to listen your voice. I know it's me here in the front, but I believe you can use my life, you can use my voice, to use God, my life, my voice, to share your word for my brothers and sisters in this night. This is my prayer, because I know you can do more than what say or more than you can thinking. You can do the most powerful thing, because you're the mighty God. So in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, good. So when you, Alistair, just reading the passage of the Bible for us, they have a very special word and a verse. Verse 9. That say, just let me see here. Yeah, prepare for the war. Prepare for the war. And in America, we have this special guy here to symbolize, to say, for the younger people, yeah, the nation need you. So we want you for the team. So everyone here is part of the team of the God, yeah? So God's wanting you and a team for a mission. What's that mission? Can you, Pastor Dan, please pass the light for us? Yep. Before I start this conversation, I just introduced the stories about this guy. How many people heard about it? Demons Thomas Dawes. No? Okay, so I keep talking about this guy. He's not my parents, not anyone from my family. So this guy, Demons Thomas Dawes, was born in Lynchburg, Virginia, so Virginia, USA. So his parents is William Thomas Dawes. He was a carpenter, and Betta Widowers Dawes. So she was a homemaker and a shoes factory worker. We know that period of the story when he's born, we have a very tough time in the world. Do you know which is what tough time was in 1938?
Depression.
Depression. Anything else? The Second War. The Second War started on that time. So, in that time, different, probably Australia's fighting on the war, in the Second War. So, in that times like Brazil, every man, teenager man, need to be ready to go into the war. So now difference happened in the life of Thomas Dawes. When he received his, we call convocations, he's been convocations for the war. And then he's going to the army, but he chose one different thing. You know, when you're going to the army, you're allowed to, I don't know if I can say that word, but you're allowed to take the life for other people. Unfortunately, you're allowed to that. But his man, he's growing up in a Christian family. And he remember, and he's teaching about in the church. But Bible say, no killing anyone. But he's in a war, but he's decided not to kill any people. Not take a life off for anyone. A, not use a gun. So for that reason, he's so many people like destroying life, say bad things about his life. And he tried to not go into the war, but they now have a choice. And he went to the war. Can you pass for the next one, please? So, this story about this guy is in that movie. You can watch if you want. Is Hankinson Ridge. It's correct? Rexon Ridge. So, that movie talking about this story for that guy. So, the many things what you learn about his stories. He went to the war, not kill anyone, just save lives. Imagine you in the war for kill people, to take lives off, but he's doing something completely different. Hey, saving lives. So can you pass for the next one, please? That is the mission what God having to us. God's called you and me to saving lives. We live in a big spiritual war. I don't know if you know that, but we live in a big spiritual war. So many, you can't see, but in this moment, I believe, in this moment, the evil and the good fighting. So many people lose his life in this moment. And so many people has been saved for Jesus Christ in this moment. So we in the middle of the war. And God want to use our life to save. And Matthew, can you please open your Bible in Matthew chapter 9? Verse 35 and 38. Can I ask for anyone's free to read that passage for us? So Matthew chapter 9, the 35 to 38.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Thank you, Alan. So, we're talking about the war, but now we change a little bit this subject for the harvest. What is the harvest? This is a new vocabulary for me. So the harvest, this is a very familiar for farmer people, but God say about this, Jesus say about this in this chapter, and say the harvest is already. It's already to collect everything, but we don't have the labels. You know, the labels, we have the labels is a few. So Jesus said to us, asking for the honor of the harvest, to give him more workers, because this is a big, big job. But unfortunately, not many people is allowed to do that. But not so many people is want to do that, but this needs to be done. Can you pass for the next one, please? Why we need to do that? Because we live in a world. In a world, we see so many things happening in this world. This is a special one I learned here. A world is a broken world. This is a sad expression because we live in this world, but we try to do the best thing in this world, but the more we try to do the best thing, all the time bad things happen in this world. This is like a fighting, like a war. Sometimes we feel we lose in this war. No, because look like we have more players in another side than the outside. But we have something powerful in outside. And this powerful is our God. Our God is powerful. I just would like to show you some things about this broken word. This broken word is allowed that say this is alive, but this is not alive. This word sometimes say it's not allowed to kill that, but this one is fine. So this is a kind of thing what is horrible in this world. And we need to do something. We are a servant of God. We are soldiers of God. So we need to do something. Can you pass for the next one, please? The next one we call about the labor. You and I, as a labor of God, you and I be called to do the job for God. That one story say, God, the angels wanna do this, but God say, no, you angels not gonna do that. That mission I give you for the human people do. What is that mission? Share the gospel of the Lord. We need to share the gospel of the Lord. But the interesting thing, I just put these three characters of the Bible to show you. So we know about Moses, yeah? The powerful and biggest leader in the Bible. David, King David, the one of the more greatest kings in the Bible. The disciples of God, the biggest and preachers preaching around the world. But the more interesting thing is, okay, you show me these three guys, but these three guys was very high. I can compare about myself, who I am, to be compared with Moses, who I am. Who I am to be compared with David, who I am. Who I am to be compared with the disciples of Jesus. They is like there, I'm like in here, very low. But I need to tell you something. All these people came from the nothing. If you see in the Bible, when Moses has been called for God, where Moses was, what's the place where Moses was? You know? Yeah. In the desert. Just with the sheep. He's not doing like a great, a biggest thing. And God just called him from the desert. How about David? What the Bible say about David? David was there fighting for Israel? No. He's just there. He was a shepherd. He's just shepherding his sheep from his family. And God called him to be a big king. What about the disciples? We know the stories about so many disciples in the Bible. How about Matthew? What Matthew was doing when Jesus called him?
Collecting taxes.
Collecting taxes. And that time the collecting taxes was the horrible people in the world. It's that kind of people. Are you a friend with that? Nah, that man is just doing the wrong thing. How about Peter? Peter just fishing. It's like not like very important people. God no choice someone from the government. God no choice someone from the highest level position in the human. But God use the people in the low. God can use everyone he wants to use. So if you feel, say, I'm too small, I'm not speaking good English, or I don't have that knowledge to preaching, to share, to speaking for someone, God give you the capacity how he's made for these characters in here. So can you pass for the next one, please? Yeah. I'd like to talking about for you about the power to the missions, because we know we call it for the mission, yeah? So we call it for the mission. We know in these missions we have a lot of things to do because the harvest is big, but not so many labors to work. But you can see in the Bible if so many people have been capacity to do that. That is about the power. This power is coming from God. Can you pass for the next one, please? I just would like to share this story here. Unfortunately, I don't have the first image because my hard drive unfortunately died, and I just took that picture of that. I can tell, can you recognize some people on this picture? Yeah, this handsome and beautiful guy, this handsome pretty guy, you know who is that? Yeah, maybe 10 years younger, 10, 15, 11, 12 years younger. Okay, I'd like to talk about this picture here. That picture was from when I was a missionary in Central America, and this country was Honduras, and this story is so interesting because this is talking about of the power of God, the capacity of God give you to doing things, big things for him. So we was in this place like a countryside, like 2 hours from the city. We need to travel 2 hours on the bus. And the interesting thing about this place, we just have one bus in the morning. So another bus comes three in the afternoon to back to the city. If you miss that bus, you need to leave there. And the interesting thing is one house here, the another house is just after 3 kilometers. And we just decided to share the gospel in that area because I remind church just opened the church in the city opened one point of preaching there. And we just went in that place to invite people to come to the church. And we found this family. And sorry, I don't have the first picture, but in the first picture you can see that how angry people because we there. They say, why you coming here? I'm not interested to listening about God. So can you just go away? We feel like that happened the first time. We just say, hey, hello, we are a younger group from South America. We're just here to share about the gospel. They say, I'm not interested in the gospel. Just go away. But we say, okay, we go away, but God bless you. But inside of us, we feeling, yeah, we need to go back again on that. And all the time when we went to that place, we just pass on this house and say, hey, hello, how are you? How's life going here? Not say anything about Jesus. Not say anything about the gospel. Just say, hello, how are you? How's it going? How's life been going? Yeah, and just go away. But we see on that time, after maybe two, I think in the fourth visit, the mother was more welcome, like more gentle with us. Then the fourth time she say, oh yeah, just go, yeah, pass, yeah, take a seat. You say, wow. Oh, you'd like to drink something, you'd like to do something, would like to share the gospel for us now? I say, yeah, of course. And then we share the gospel, prayer for that family. I forgot to speak about this special guy here. That guy, his name is Raphael as well. I remember my first time there, we say, hey, hello. You're just asking him, he's no answer, baby. No doing any reaction about us. Just say, hello, how are you? Just looking. Like his mom asks. Okay, maybe, yeah, we're not welcome here. And then we continue going. But we see he starts change, and his family starts change as well, like the reaction of us. And then one day we back there and asking same thing. Hey, how are you? How are we going? And that time he answers us. He say, yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. And he say, wow, first time I heard he's talking something. You say, because he's a shy, asking for the money, he's a shy, yeah? And now he's like, the man say, he's never speaking his life. He's never speaking, never heard before. And say, really? Yeah. But that starting when you guys start coming here. This is like, wow, they are very, wow, impacted, is very excited. They say, wow, this is a miracle. I can't believe. They say, yeah, that's true. When you guys come in here for the first time, we start to see the difference in his life. And then we continue to go in there, pray, share the gospel. And the nice things, that picture when he's like, he's looking, if you see the first picture, you see that the difference between now. He's that guy, he starts going to a church, starts speaking, starts listening. And the more nice place where he's like to go is the church. Why I talk to you guys about this story? Remember, God used ordinary people to do big things. Amen. God used my life. I'm not feel something like, oh, God, you want to do something powerful this and this night. No. We just go in there and say hello and say we'd like to share the gospel. So that family saw, oh, these people have something different. They have something powerful. And for this reason, this family has been saved for Christ. Just about friendship. So I just like to encourage you about these stories. Is we have all the things against us. We live in a broken world. We live in a very hard spiritual war. But we have an outside. The mighty and the powerful God. He can do things what we can imagine. Just for His glory. So, this is the word what I'd like to share with you guys. I hope these words can encourage you to continue keeping faith and encourage you to go and saving lives. Saving lives, share the gospel, because God can do amazing things, miracles, if it's necessary. Amen? I'd like to pass this for them now.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Don't normally do this, but I reckon he deserves a round of applause. That's awesome. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. But let me read it as a rough place for us. One of those key passages you read out for us, just as we have this time of reflection as we close. And Book of Matthew again, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain." So with that in mind, you're probably wondering why there's a bit of paper and pen on your tables there. And what I want to encourage us to do in response to this encouraging message that Raph has given us is to spend some time between you and God and just write down on that bit of paper someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus Christ yet. Someone that may be a work colleague, a friend or a family member. Someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus. And what I want to encourage us to do with those on your table is just spend some time in prayer for those people. So you might just have a person that comes to mind or someone that's on your heart. So write that person down. Take it with you this week as a way of reminding you to pray for them or to prompt you to speak into their lives, as Raph has shared. So just take a moment now just to reflect, to write that person's name down, and then with the people in front of you or around you, and pray for those people, and then we'll close together in a time of prayer. Is that okay? So spend a couple of minutes now just thinking, praying, reflecting, and then after you've had that time, I encourage you to pray with those on your table as well.